Please be seated. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed or a measure of wheat. You've heard these stories all your life, and you know what they mean. The idea that big things sometimes can come from small beginnings. The only problem is that mustard is a weed. It's similar to kudzu here in the South. Yeast? Well, back in Jesus' time, it was considered a contaminant. So maybe turning this parable into a proverb isn't the way to go today. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, or a merchant looking for fine pearls. Say, what? The kingdom of heaven is a fisherman throwing out a big net and capturing fish of all kind, but only keeping the good ones. Okay? So basically, our gospel today, Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is intrusive, foul, infectious, elusive, and exclusive. Can't wait to get there. Joel Stein is a columnist for the LA Times, and once in a tongue-in-cheek way wrote this about the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is totally overrated. It seems boring. Clouds, listening to people play the harp. It should be somewhere you can't wait to go, like a luxury hotel with room service. Maybe blue skies and soft music were enough to keep people in line in the 17th century, but heaven has to step it up a bit. They are basically getting by because they only have to be a little bit better than hell. Again, he wrote that as satire, but I wonder if there's not some truth there. Author Caroline Lewis writes that how we imagine what the kingdom of heaven is like depends on a lot on what we need the kingdom of heaven to be, which frequently hinges on factors that we'd rather ignore. Our penchant for certain visualization of the kingdom of heaven has less to do with what the Bible says and more about what's at stake for us. Our language about the kingdom of heaven tends to be attached to how we think God should act and not how God has already acted. Our assumptions about the kingdom of heaven rely heavily on a system of rewards and punishment, and not on God's choice to bless. I love that. And I believe that. Because the words that we use, and especially when it comes to parables, the words that we use matter. And there's a part of me that's always believed that the words that Jesus uses in his parables were intended to invite people to be moved by the story. To feel it in their bones. To feel it in their bones what it means when God gets involved in your life and in this world. And I think that the words Jesus chooses are a reminder that the faith we proclaim and the kingdom that we long for isn't merely some intellectual idea, but it's an experience. An experience of the creative and redeeming power of God that continues to change lives. So, for me, that means that if the words Jesus uses in a parable really don't resonate with us, then maybe it's okay to find words that do. It's the idea that we can't know what Jesus really means until we feel it, which means Jesus' parables can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people when we get beyond merely trying to interpret them and allow them into our hearts. I can't tell you how many times I've stood up here and preached a sermon and afterwards had one of you say something about how it spoke to you in a particular way. And that wasn't what I intended. But that's okay. I think that's how parables and words and this whole Holy Spirit thing is supposed to work. And maybe that's the whole point. So here's the deal. One of our two air conditioning units is not working. That's why it's a little stuffy in here today. And I knew that was going to be the case. So here's the deal. You're going to get off with a fairly short sermon. But in exchange, I want to challenge you to something. I want to give you a little homework for the week. Allow yourself to have a little kingdom of heaven imagination. Make up your own parable about that kingdom. Not just something that sounds nice or you think is theologically correct, but instead use language that you feel incorporates the context of your life and in turn expresses your own faith and your own needs. What does the kingdom of heaven need to be in light of your own reality? You never know what's going to click for you, what connection might happen, what certain words might resonate. But rest assured, your answer is as legitimate as anyone's, because every day is different when it comes to being a follower of Christ. And be assured that the reason that Jesus spends so much time explaining the kingdom of heaven is that we all need to be reminded that it's here. It's here even when it seems so painfully absent. But then be prepared. Be prepared because when that kingdom becomes a part of your heart, people have been led to do some pretty crazy things, like sharing what you have with other people, standing up for your values, caring for those who have less, forgiving when it's not deserved, showing grace in the midst of greed, and when surrounded by hate, you're the one who proclaims love. And suddenly that kingdom is no longer just near, but it is here, right here, for each of us even now. And our world and the world around us can truly be transformed by that. Give it a try this week. Think about it. Think about what the kingdom of heaven means to you. Because if you think it's hot in here, God love you.